Hi everyone. I think I'm going to read two chapters from my new novel, which I finished a couple of weeks ago, so no one's heard this before. It's called Red Tory, My Corbyn Chemsex Hell. And it's about... amongst other things, it's a love story between two people. One, a young German communist drug chemist who's trying to synthesize a drug that might bring about a new psychotropic edge and a revolution in the subjectivity of Londoners. And a guy he meets at a dinner party who is a young Blairite Labour apparatchik, whose vision of the world and whose climb through the party structure is really shaken by meeting this young drug chemist. And their names are Jörg, obviously the German chemist, and Tom, who's the young middle-class Blairite. And in this scene, it's mostly self-explanatory, but it's about halfway through the book. I'll read just two short chapters. Waiting for the train inside the shopping centre, he paused for a moment. Jörg pulled off his gloves and stuffed them into his pocket. Outside, the air was crisp, Mittel Europa, maybe 1-2 degrees centigrade. Inside, filtered, warmed and scented air filled the lobby. He checked the map, illuminated by glass, for a food hall. His thoughts were scattered, the previous night's events playing heavily upon him, the smell of smoke from the bar, the mist in the dark, thin, tall streets lit from suspended lamps. Hands on him, on his body, in the dark. He gasped at the dryness of the air, catchy at his throat, when outside snowflakes formed and stuck to his cap. The food hall was on three floors, formed around a central atrium of the mall. Stores span off down wide boulevards, but all coalesced here, amongst a fog of fried food and beer and fruit smoothies. Thoughtless, Jörg drifted across the forecourts of each, a mock Italian, a bar with frothy men arguing over lagers and craft ales, a small donut concession wisping sugars into the air before settling on a McDonald's. He punched his order into the LCD display, building his burger. It spat out a receipt with his order number. Overhead, a TV displayed a rolling screen of numbers. Two blondes served up tray after tray in near silence. No one caught their eye for conversation, but beat chat into their smartphones. He paid contactless. Affectless, it was a pure quotidian future shock for Jörg, too basic to even pass comment on, like a bad theory bro example of late capitalism, a quote-plagiarized idea upon an idea, easier to imagine the end of the world than the end of this line. His whole body was stiff and sore. The number 32 pinged up and he collected his meal in silence, moving to the window bar that looked out at the city. He'd arrived in Austria a week ago, on a bus from Paris, via a bus from London. Staying with comrades, he'd cruised the parks hard, tucking his scarf into his coat against the biting air, cupping his hands between his thighs to warm them up before he pulled out a guy's cock, a little act of concern. Nothing to do now but lay low. Keep moving. Next stop, Berlin. Not leave too many traces. He felt the thudding ground as the fascists hunted him down. He kept the drugs recipe safe, encrypted in his flash drive, and tried to forget it in his mind. He traced his eye from church steeple to steeple, across the puffing clouds of air conditioning exhaust pouring from high rooftops. His eyes settled on the dome of the Central Library, now repurposed as a function centre for corporate guests and party political conferences. His Big Mac tasted of blood. Hands on him, on his body, in the dark, grabbing at his arse, beer and fag smoke as a man pushed his fingers into his mouth. Hands on him, on his body, the sound of breaking glass. The man holding his head and them swapping tongues as a stranger deep-throated his cock. The heavy dates on the gravestones. Hands on him, on his body, the marker pen graffiti on every lamppost. Islam out. He spun the ice cubes around a paper cup. They got blocked and backed up by the straw, and he pulled it out and pushed it down again to hammer the frozen block of cubes. Affectless, airless. The wall inside the restaurant was decorated with street graffiti. He looked hard to find a pattern, a message, in the stylized 80s bubble tags, but then there were no words, nothing that constituted an approximation of a word, just fabricated false words. Outside on a lamppost, marker pen graffiti said, Islam out. He looked up at a departures board on a flat screen mounted on the feature graffiti wall. 26 minutes until the airport shuttle would whisk him under the city for his flight. He resumed his feeding, peeling the bun back to reveal the grey patty. Pure quotidian future shock, he thought, finding comfort in being one amongst many at this Sector 6 feeding zone. He laughed to himself and let a half-eaten mouthful fall from his lips. He looked around, hoping someone noticed his disgusting act. Islam out, queer death, the hands on him, on his body, before he zipped up and zipped out, black bomber against the newly forming snow. 17 minutes until departure. He went for a walk, his duffel bag under his arm. The hands on him and on his body, fists on his nose. The strike back and blood running in thin rivulets against black. The stale beer and Islam out, and feet picking up pace as they ran. 7 men, 10 men, 12 men weaved in and out of the dinging trams, the rattle of the wires, and up and over the fence into the snowy park. His footsteps crunched, theirs padded, all in black, a murder of fascist crows circling in as he evaded the tourists, trying to find a busier street. No cops, nip away, down a flight of public steps, the thin strasser and the buildings rising high and held together with electric lighting, the slamming shutters and closing night, the hands on him and his body, the boots and fists, faster, down the long street and into the bar, the back room, the boys, the black masks, the fists and boots and fists on his body, the stench of toxins, outraged, gloved claws gnawing and a strike to the nose, bloodied, chloroformed, bundled and gagged, bagged, strapped, leather and cock, dragged out like a corpse, loaded, fucked, damp with blood. Bus nose tended, cleaned up, hands on him, on his body, in a bed, covered up, dark, strapped. He woke from shock 2 hours later, 3 a.m., 3 hours past midnight, featureless, no memory but the previous day, a small flat. "What are you doing over here then?" a voice goaded. His eyes rolled their whites and a masked man struck his face. "Bit far from home, aren't we?" Unmistakably English, and he passed out. Jorg woke up cold and juddering and dislocated. At first he felt his bodily judd as internal, as a sign he was ill, dying maybe, poisoned. But as he came to and smelt amongst the lube and fags the unmistakable stench of petrol and smog, he realised the judders came from the back of the Luton van he was in. There were 4 other men in there with him, also all dressed in black, all in ski masks, but he was the only one bound and gagged, the only one of his arms behind his back, the only one who rattled chains when he shifted his body. He tried to remain calm, quiet, but a skinny young fascist caught his eye and pawed at his mate, a bigger man, as the 4 of them sat slumped on the floor, backs to the wall, legs braced against the shifting motion of the van. "He's awake, John," he looked at me. His comrade stood up, gripping the packing ropes tied to the inside walls, and carefully walked over, balancing himself. He leant in so close Jorg could smell his ashy breath, fatty, like any one of the men he'd met in the dark room earlier in the week. Any of them, he could be any of them. "We're taking you home, son," the man said, "and you can tell us all about how you make your little party drug." His face leered closer. "Is that all right?" he mocked, and Jorg's head pumped, like the worst hangover he'd ever had. And he passed out as the van crossed Europe. The next time he would wake, it was in darkness, and he was alone, in a tightly enclosed space, feeling the rock and the reel of the cross-channel ferry ploughing through the night. Next chapter. Sorry. It happened again. The ring of pain around his pupil. He came to with the man's knees pinning him at the shoulders. His arms flapped and flapped again at the 2 thick brown thighs. Like a moth, the scientist punched pins against his shoulder blades, like fine needles through his abdomen. His body, dust-covered, strapped to soft IKEA bedsheets in a glass display case, somewhere tucked away at the back of a provincial natural history museum. A gang of schoolchildren would gather to look at the specimen. The teacher might explain how it came to be, entirely missing the point of the strange evolution of the little bug before their fat little faces. One child might look twice, wondering why no one else could see the beauty of this delicate thorax in situ. Behind the glass, he'd see his dried and desiccated old body, the dull signage giving but a hint to the whole chain of events that saw him here, bloodless and alone. Caught in Dulstone in the late summer of 2015 by the esteemed domtop entomologist Hibernian 9-inch High and Horny, this faggot represents a typical example of the common European cum slut. Note, damage to the eyes and nose, a result of the species' exposure to pollution and damaging diet of recreational chemicals and overpriced coffee. But that little boy would see beyond the academic taxonomies. He'd ask questions, like just what caused the barely visible carpet burns? Like what beautiful moments just prior to death left the cum splatters on his tiny eyelashes? He'd imagine a hidden life beyond the museum, a life still lived, the aspic future of the radiant little bug. Following the McDonald's attack, following his painful realization of Jorg's secret leanings, he'd fallen badly from the wagon. He called up the Roman within an hour of getting back to his flat, and a couple of hours later was here, in a stranger's flat, kissing a teenager as the landlord licked at his arsehole. Tom's eyes closed, and the acidic white halos burnt further into him. The strange powder stung the top of his sinuses. He became hyper-conscious of just how warm his skin felt stretched over him. The bony kneecaps felt like they were about to split his shoulders from his arms. For a moment, he felt himself at his dad's knife as his father cracked the heavy bones of the Sunday bird, pulling leg from carcass to see just how pink his juices ran. Suddenly, bam! The man had brought down his hand hard against Tom's face, connecting the ball of his palm with his chin. His eyes bolted open and his otherworldly high rescinded like a riptide, idea and imaginary suddenly pulled over the under the overwhelming currents of scents and central heating and lube stench. His eyes pulled focus just in time to see a balding, bearded figure. T-shirt still on the arms, but pulled over the head to expose the hairy chest and bullet nipples. A makeshift harness, the like of which a poor peasant may restrain his newly purchased beast of burden with. The man had surgical steel bolted in a ring through his nose and was fast dropping a phlegmatic elevator on the Blairite slag. He let the goober drop so close to his face, Tom could smell its Coca-Cola tang before slurping it back up into his browning teeth. Then, drawing breath through his nose, the man hocks the full load with speed and precision into his helpless little face. Tom was awake, feeling a warm saliva pool that was gathered just below his nose, unable to see it, unable to bear the smell, unable to move his arms. The scene was as such. The small flat that the beautiful Diocletian had led this Christian babe to the night before. They'd been laughing as the door had opened, joking at the exploits of a mutual friend who'd found himself robbed of an iPad the week before after a party, only to find it in a kitchen drawer later in the week, the only clue to the prankster's identity being a single photo safe from the camera of a pair of buttocks squatting over the tablet. He'd begun investigating his party guests with discreet inquiries into sphincter diameter and looseness, unusual marks or moles, etc. All his friends knew a lot about all their other friends' buttholes, and they weren't afraid to grass. The door had swung open with the sound of a similarly booming laughter within. A tall, broad, and fatty muscle bear had let them in, and Tom noticed his hand rested and lingered above his Twinkie butt long enough to know that he'd been expected, a toy to share amongst the boys. He recognised the beast atop him from the kitchen the night before. Uncertain of the time, he couldn't remember much more than the dancing, line after line, and now a cold blue light from the curtained window, and a stench of stale fags, and a high-as-fuck motor mouth in the next room was his morning cockerel. The room was empty besides the beardo incubus weighing like rocks upon his chest. Tom thought of his dad, carving fork, skewering a tight brown breast as the silver steel hovered ready for the brutal primary incision. He looked down the beastly body and the hairy little stomach paunch, all mottled brown, gave way to a milk-white tan line attributable only to a pair of recently dispatched briefs. It betrayed a perfect summer. Dad's voice seemed to echo down his ear hole. White meat or brown? White meat or brown? White meat or brown? Good Lord. A dizzying spell saw Tom close his eyes a second more. Opening them, the beast rocked forward. His dick was fat and firm and slightly speckled, picked straight from above the counter at the bodega or charcuterie, trussed in fatty string and dusted in white powder. Cured. The beast had a cob on, wet around the eye, and his urethra itself was pierced with 6 millimeters of thick, warm steel. His dick ring curved up above his bell end in a high arch and back down through the pink and shiny flesh. He leant forwards till the ball that closed the loop touched Tom's quivering little lip. "Okay, little twink," he leered. "I'm going to enjoy making you daddy's wee piglet." The Glaswegian burr was soft and warm and sent a shiver of excitement through Tom, ending in a distinct tingling up his butthole at the thought of getting fucked. The Scottish rare breed clipped his nose shut with his chubby fingers. The action dislodged some of Centurion's marching powder, and Tom felt it punch into his capillaries. He opened his mouth with a gasp come snort, worrying for a moment whether the weight and brute force of the daddy pig might force a rush of white bile and Pizza Express to channel up his esophagus and mar the lovemaking that was to come. Instead, the fat bejeweled cock was forced into his mouth and down his throat. The action caused pressure to build behind his eyeballs, and the hot, fiery halos returned. He struggled to pull air past the girthy knob. He wondered if cum could flood a man's lungs. And then the man pulled out and his weight lifted from the body, and again, deeper still, and again, till the slap of balls on chin became a rhythm. The more spittle Tom choked, chucked up, the smoother the mechanism, till he could barely feel the cock choking him, were it not for the rush of cold air it was fucking into his stomach. Tom opened his eyes to see a thick cloud of black pubes pulling closer and backing off. As the halos caused his eyes to lose precision, the watery dawn and sloppy, muddy skullfuck sounds had a curious effect on the plucky young third way advocate. The thick hair began to gain the appearance not of a mat of soft pubes, but instead of damp, warm, wire black fur, straight and with sheen. It bounced in sharp contrast with the skin, which appeared thick and tough and less white than blotched and pinky. Sweat ran in rivulets across it, accruing more colour as the tan washed away. Brown sweat dripped in fine streams across the top's face. The smell was not unpleasant in its way, rich and with a whiff reminiscent of his family's village. Grass and warm summer mud banged from green Wellington boots, iron tanged from rusting gates, and something else, something less pleasant and distinctly farmyardy. The beastly Scot kept up his dirty talk. "Ah, you little twink fucker," as Tom choked back more dick. "You horny little fucker. You wee fucked, are you? You like that, don't you, you little cunt?" Tom made what noise his vocal cords could, and the big bell end struck them. He tried to form the sound into an affirmative grunt that would reverberate through the beast's body with pleasurable effects. "You posh wee cunt," the man said. "Where's your rich wanker friends now?" He didn't get a reference, and he wouldn't have got a reference even had he got a reference. His memory wasn't accessed right at that moment. His long-term sense of self, his short-term sense of space and time, all were flooded by a strange sensation of both becoming and escaping his body. He was in the moment, a moment where he felt two strange, horny hands grip and part his thighs. It was the big muscle bear who had opened the door the night before. From the glimpse in the wardrobe mirror he could see now, he'd discarded his super dry shirt and instead stood in a thick black leather harness, replete with buckles and decorative rivets. Tom felt the daddy bear lift his piggly wiggly little limp dick and smear a thick and gelatinous handful of lube around his rectum. With a single thrust from the hips, the man pushed himself balls deep into Tom, arching his body to first tighten and then take the fat kielbasa. His eyes flicked back from the mirror to the fat belly pushing up against his face. It seemed bigger, distended somehow, bloating. The streams of sweat had somehow washed the tan from the front and left, just two or three large patches, revealing a thick, pinkish hide bristled with short hairs. Tom struggled with his sense. Finding himself in bed of a stranger, at times he slipped into a false and easy familiarity, as if he really knew a man and knew his body. He'd trace his hand across a back like he'd held that body 100 times. He'd find himself suddenly shocked by a scar, a tattoo that he hadn't noticed. It imposed on him with undue weight, like he'd seen a new mole after a day on a sunny beach with a lifelong lover. Perhaps he'd just not really noticed his body, just read it in shorthand. And here, up close, it was forcing out his image of who he was fucking. Perhaps he was mistaken. Maybe a guy had just arrived while he'd been sitting on Diocletian's cock in a master bedroom at 2 a.m. Maybe he'd assumed this man fucking his face was a cute guy he'd let finger him on a couch at midnight, but that guy was just had just a little paunch, a little mound of subcutaneous fat above a tough and muscular stomach. He had a distinctive tan. But this body seemed enormous and pink, so very pink. Perhaps he'd hallucinated that cute beard from the Scottish guy 20 minutes earlier, who caressed him to consciousness with an open-palmed slap. This fat face fucker didn't seem to have the kindly Scottish burr. In fact, he couldn't make out an accent at all. Just this grunting, and every now and then this piercing sound, a high-pitched squeak, a squealing, squealing, snort, snort. And Tom reached up and gripped his fat and meaty ass that pumped his face, and the dirty talk was gone, replaced with a prolonged guttural honk. And his hand felt round for his buttocks and gripped a tight and springy little fleshy corkscrew. His eye wrenched open and shot to the mirror, and clear as that rising sun, an enormous, brutish, old-spot boar had mounted Tom's face, his shit-stained trotters tearing at the white bedsheets, one front hoof hammering at the cheap headboard, the other rhythmically punching the wall. In the mirror, the harnessed man still slammed Tom's hole, but the fat piggy rolled back and forth, steam rising from its broad haunches. Tom submitted to the porcine dominator, even twisting its tail in his fist, causing the old spot to emit more fantastic noises of uncertain rapture. Pig banged harder. The man hoisted Tom's legs up onto his shoulders, his ankles rubbing, pulling and rubbing against the leather harness. For 20 minutes, man and beast pounded and slammed in harmony, and Tom's eyes rolled in ecstasy at the joyous feelings produced by being tag-teamed by this agricultural double act. The Emperor's new legal hides were producing strange and thrilling moments of novel sexual kicks. Endorphins and unnamed pleasures flooded his little body, and the beast unburdened himself. Tom reveled in his thick and heavy skin. Pigling Bland shifted his hips for further reach, hitting deep into Tom's gargling, froth-corrupted throat. The pig shifted to an even higher grunt, scratching Tom's tender pink ears. Blood pumped around his head. His dick was harder than he'd ever known before. He bucked and writhed to the squeals before noticing they'd been joined by another, deeper noise. The man himself let out a new sound, a rutting, snorting noise. Tom clocked him in the mirror. His chest was there, broader and hairier than ever. In a way, more man than ever. But he was growing in size. Sweat poured from his armpits, stenched. His skin filled his harness till, one by one, each leather strap strained and then snapped, pinging buckles across the room. The leather hung from his body now, a loose bridle, like seaweed from a rotting hulk. His girth increased between Tom's thighs. His dick filled him bigger and bigger, testing the elastic limit of the wannabe parliamentary researcher's anal sphincter. Tom traced his bulky body shape, broad and lean, up to his face, his ears, eyes, hair, still human, but where his beard had once covered soft and full lips, now the man had a thick, protruding snout and a masticating jaw chewing at itself, long, hot, salty strings of spicy saliva. Throwing his head back in ecstatic joy, he felt the man's dick grow bigger still, almost too big, but not too big. The hot halos that earlier torched his eyes now filled his mind with a pure and filthy light. He lifted his butt as high as he could by arching his back and felt the dick fill his entire body. As his eyes opened, he watched himself double-fucked in the thin wardrobe mirror. He looked from pig to man and from man to pig and from pig to man again, but already it was impossible to say which was which. Both piggies, high on raunch, drilled and nailed the flimsy ragdoll. The mouthfucker, the smaller of the two, slammed his cloven hooves so hard against the apartment walls the thin sheets of plasterboard started to crack. The ass-fucking pig was now so tall his trotters, raised up above his head, ripped down the halogen chandelier, bringing shards of the ceiling with it. The walls were shaking free of the pine studwork, crumbling in sheets to the floor, releasing rising clouds of thick white gypsum dust that fell and coated their thick hides, Tom's soft, sweaty, white stomach, the bed sheets, the polyvinyl flooring, the bedside table. The two beasts seemed impervious to the damage their enormous hooves were doing to the room. The look in Tom's eyes shifted from cum-guzzling abandon to a sort of panic. He slapped the motherfucker, but Pig couldn't feel his hands for that tough old hide. He tried to call out, but he could barely exclaim a syllable before his enormous prick, Coke cannon girth, filled his throat again. As the room disappeared into a dust cloud of its own making, Tom screamed louder, desperate to complete the words formed in panic in his gullet, louder and louder against the grunting, beating, snorting pigs. In the room next door, the gathered men sat around in pants or naked. Some chain smoked, another poured drinks, two were tenderly jerking each other off. They sat in quiet, comfortable acceptance. The only noise was a tinny laptop speaker blasting out a Drexia track, and the thud, thud, thud of the headboard next door, interspersed with Tom's gulping, gargled, throat-fucked shouts. Trr, glug, glug, trr, th, trr, thug, thot, glug, glop, trot, gurgle, gurgle, glug, glug, trot, glug, trot, glug, thot, 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 trot, gurgle, glug, trot, trot, trots, 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 trots. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.